All right, guys, Shay with the Wahi Produce. Welcome to the Produce Common Sense Podcast. I'm glad to have you here. This is going to be the official episode 3. It's a little on the fly because we have an incredible special guest here. And we met over kind of over dinner last night. We were both talking about Met Naturals. It's a CBD product. We're actually growing the hemp. I don't talk a lot about the hemp side of what we do, but we're growing the hemp that's being processed into the CBD and used in the MET products, the medicinal products. And that's why you were here, right?
Yep, exactly.
But we started talking last night about all kinds of things, ag. And so we started talking about consumer trends and the things that she advocates for. And frankly, we disagree on several things probably, but we didn't like try and slap each other or punch or fight or yell.
No, it was a great conversation, I thought, and I learned a lot. So it was great.
Yeah. I mean, those are the kind of conversations that we hope to have here on the podcast and in general, talking about maybe our differences, but the common ground that we have, which is usually the majority of our points of view are common. And then there's a few differences and we had to agree to disagree on a few things, but her insight on consumer trends and what consumers want is what really piqued my interest. So tell me what you find to be the biggest disconnect, first of all, between what is in the marketplace and what farmers grow and produce and what the consumer, not what they need, but what they want, and then what they need.
Or maybe what they think things are.
Yeah, that too.
Because what I learned from you, well, and I've known this though from research, organic produce is completely different than like organic packaged foods. And talking to you last night, hearing about conventional produce and organic produce and what happens with both is really interesting. And so I think a lot of people are going the trend of organic because it's a trendy topic out there and a trendy thing. And after talking to you, maybe organic produce isn't the elite.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of people out there think it is the elite. And so I will stand by organic packaged food as we discussed last night, because I think organic packaged food is a completely different world than organic produce.
Yeah. And largely I think we came to that conclusion because of the difference between, well, the fact that there's not GMO products and fresh products.
Right.
Right. And then your concern for glyphosate, for Roundup on produce and things that people are consuming.
Right. Exactly. So, well, and I didn't really even answer your question about what consumers are looking for, but consumers, I think, one, are looking for cheap because we're all on a tight food budget.
And we can agree on that because that's what, I mean, on the cheap side, that's what we feel like we have to produce as farmers. We've got to, I mean, in the U.S., the average consumer spends less of their income on food than any other location in the world.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah, so cheap, but then we expect perfect. Like when you go to the produce section, we've been trained to have all nice produce. And if it doesn't look good, it doesn't get picked up and taken home.
Right.
Which is sad. We should learn that the produce is still good. It maybe just has a little flaw in it.
Right. And that flaw, actually, that perfection requires us to produce maybe, well, it raises costs, number one, which a lot of folks wouldn't consider. But if we can only send the perfect stuff, the rest of the stuff's getting thrown away or used as a byproduct and worth a lot less money. The other thing too are the requirements for potential pesticides, herbicides that we have to utilize to keep that product looking as pristine and perfect as possible. Whereas if we would just, and I see this in Europe, I don't know if you've been to Europe, but if you go to the produce department in Europe, their standards, frankly, are lower. The quality of the produce is still really good, but they're less worried about the cosmetics and more concerned about the wholesomeness of what they buy.
But then they can use less pesticides, herbicides, things like that, right?
Right.
So there's this trade-off. Like we need to teach people maybe it shouldn't look so great so that we could use less pesticides, herbicides, because that's where I come into. Well, a lot of my followers, people, they're very concerned as to what's being put on our food these days. So besides looking nice, being cheap, they want it to be transparent. They want to know that it is good soil it's growing in, no harsh pesticides, herbicides, things like that. They want a true nourishing food that is good for their body.
Okay. And that all makes sense. And it makes sense that the, you know, the farmers in general are trying to create that in one way or another. But let's talk about how, well, maybe the disconnect part, right? Because What is it that you think, and we talked about this yesterday, the cost of production and creating something beautiful, creating something maybe that's organic. And no, I'm going to rephrase this. Why is it, do you think, that the consumer in a lot of ways says one thing? So if we do studies or surveys, we get answer A, B, C, D, right? But when the consumer actually goes into the store to buy, they a lot of times don't follow what they said via the survey. Why do you think the disconnect between what they say they want and what they really want?
Price, I think.
You think it's just cost?
Yeah.
I think I'd agree. But
because they're going to tell you in a survey, oh yeah, I want a perfect looking produce with very few pesticides, herbicides, whatever on it. But when it comes down to it, if you've got an onion for 98 cents or $1.98, they're going to grab the 98 cent one.
Okay. So how do we move the needle? How can we, because I like to ask this question all the time. And what I mean by moving the needle is, how do we get the consumer and the producer farmer more aligned in what we produce and put on the shelf?
That's a million-dollar question.
Right? That's why I want the answer.
Well, I think what you're doing, educating people about the hard process it is to grow this produce, is a big step, because even coming here to the facility and the farm, I was shocked. Like, I thought we picked onions, it went to a facility to be sorted and packaged and sent to the store. I didn't realize the time of storing it to dry them. I mean, there's a lot of in-between processes that I didn't realize. There's a lot of manpower in getting one onion to the store. So I just don't think people are educated as to how much work it takes to grow one piece of produce.
Okay. And then, and absolutely, that's why I mean, the social media and the reason that I'm on the channels and talking about what I do is, one, I love it. I'm very passionate about it. But two, I can't ask for more dollars from a consumer unless they see what it really takes. If, right. If it's just, you know, pick that onion up, throw it in a bag and send it to the grocery store, that's one thing. And why would I ask for $15 a bag for something that simple? But when you see the entire process, it's easier to ask for it. But I think the other piece of the puzzle is showing what it takes and why we invest so much, but also trying to convince the consumer to be an advocate for us. And I think a lot of consumers don't realize how, certainly it's happening more and more with younger generations. They see that if they get behind a cause, that they can really create a grassroots effort and a change in the industry. And that's what I would say, like, to the people that you share your messaging with, to your followers, is if you'll ask at retail for the things that you believe in, and enough of you ask, you can start to create that change. We've right. seen that before. So just, you know, whatever that might be, whether, I mean, obviously it's happening with organic produce being in the produce department. I'm not neither a proponent nor opponent of organic per se. I'm more about common sense practices. And that's what I hope to share too. And right. in the behind the scenes is, you know, it's not necessarily better. Organic has done a phenomenal job marketing their product. But it, regardless, if you want organic, ask for organic. If you want, you know, red onions or yellow onions or bananas from Costa Rica, like whatever it is, you've got to ask for it.
Well, and this is where we sort of agree though, because organic and produce, to me, I'm like, let's just get more fruits and vegetables in everybody's home. Let's not worry about organic or non-organic. Let's just more vegetables. It's just nourishing and healthy. But then organic is really important to me in the packaged food, because I think it should be called something different.
Yeah. So explain why it's so important to you. Cause I think that's important for people that are listening to understand why you draw a distinction between fresh produce, being organic and processed foods being organic.
Okay. And like I said, so the produce, I don't care. Just get more produce in your diet. But package, this is why I wish it was a different term, because organic is a whole list of terms for package. So it can, if something is labeled organic, it means no artificial dyes, so no red 40, blue 1. It means no artificial sweeteners, so no Ace K, sucralose, things like that. It also means no artificial flavors, which can be a whole host of things. No artificial preservatives. It means no hydrogenated oils, which those can be really inflammatory.
Which is, I wouldn't have thought of that. So the hydrogenated oils are because, I mean, is that because it comes from a GMO corn? Or why is
sometimes
that?
Sometimes they do, but not always. But that is just on the
it's
list.
It's just
of
on the list.
Yep,
okay.
List of all requirements. Right. I mean, the list is quite lengthy. I mean, I could keep going. It means that there's no GMOs in the product, which that's not my concern. My concern is that it Organic means that there's no glyphosate sprayed on the crops. So that's another requirement of organic. So organic packaged foods has this whole list that tells you a plethora of information about it. So rather than having to read every label, like, does this have Red 40? Does this have Ace K in it? You can just be like, oh, it's organic. Okay, so those rule out all of those things.
How's that different from like all natural then?
All natural is just a logo or wording that it doesn't really mean anything. No, it means nothing.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good, because I look at a lot of labeling, like the non-GMO thing, frankly, from a labeling standpoint, really bothers me.
But it bothers me too. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Just because it is a total joke most of the time, because Quaker Oats, for instance, puts the non-GMO label on there.
Right.
And everybody thinks, oh, this is a better choice. Oat. And I'm like, no, oats aren't genetically modified.
That's
so it's like putting a GMO label on a water bottle. It's pointless.
It's pointless. But it also confuses the consumer because they...
Tremendously.
Because I look at, like, there's been some onion producers, ourselves included, at one point in time where we put non-GMO on our onion bags.
And did they sell better?
Frankly, I don't think they sold better. But
people look at it and go, oh, okay, yeah, this must be a better onion.
Exactly.
And I'm like, no, onions are not genetically modified.
Exactly. And that's where the confusion, this confusion about, well, are there genetically modified onions? Are there genetically modified watermelons? No, there's not.
Right.
But by putting that label on there,
we've confused everybody. But because of that label, the organic label confuses people too. Because if I'm teaching organic package, then they take that like teaching and think, oh, I've got to get organic produce as well, when that's not the case. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Organic labeling,
right? Because
is just
it's so different in what it means.
Exactly.
Yeah. The process, what we have to do or need to do to educate the consumer is really, really complicated. And first of all, thanks for being on. But second of all, thanks for the way that you're sharing your message and trying to, like, you've been really sincere in your like quest for knowledge. There's lots of trolls, which you've met lots of trolls. When you're online, and it's so frustrating sometimes when you come from a sincere place. And you're not always right. I'm certainly not always right in the storytelling or in the way that I present things. I mean, I try to be, but I'm not always right.
Right.
And even when I am what I think 100% right, the way that I get attacked sometime is really, really frustrating. It's less frustrating today than it was in the beginning. I'm sure it's the same thing for you, but
yeah.
But you were, you know, I think we were both open-minded as we talked to each other, and we talked about, for example, the last thing. And we can leave this in or take it out. But when we talked about sugar production.
Okay.
So I did some research on that just to see on the glyphosate or Roundup Ready sugar beets, GMO sugar beets, if you can find anything in the product. So from all the sources that I can find, you actually, if you test it down to the molecular level, you can't even tell the difference between cane sugar and beet sugar at all, period. Never mind whether it's got glyphosate in it.
Uh-huh.
The reason that was so important to you is, going back to your organic labeling, you want to make sure that people are minimizing the amount of all glyphosate, and I would assume all other pesticides and herbicides that they're getting in their system, but especially glyphosate. Like, you really, like, glyphosate is really,
I pinpoint on that one.
Like, that's really, really, really important.
Just because I talk about healing and nourishing fruits and vegetables and things, and I don't think it's nourishing. It's causing a lot of gut issues for people and things like that. And so I just want to teach people to stay away from it. But I did love learning from you about sugar, because as it's processed, that glyphosate is not being shown up in the sugar results.
Right. And I think it's important. Like, I agree. Like, that we don't want to put, as a farmer, I don't want to have as much glyphosate or you overuse it or, I don't think I want to remove it as a tool in the toolkit, but we need to be good stewards of the land. We need to be good caretakers of Mother Nature. We need to be considerate of our consumers. And so I think it's important as well to try and express like that to the type of people that you're talking to that follow you, that we sincerely, we want to do the right thing.
Right.
Because we want to be doing this long-term. We don't want to cancer or gut problems or whatever it might be. If there's an alternative, that alternative has to be profitable. And that's where the trolls come in. I'm digressing there a little bit, but the trolls come in, they're like, you know, it's always, well, the rich farmer this, or you don't want to spend the dollars that, it's all about cutting costs. And it costs matter at the end of the day. I think there's the large disconnect about doing what's environmentally and socially correct and nutritionally correct, and being a good business person. And they do largely mesh, but they don't perfectly mesh.
Right.
And if we're not profitable, farmers only make single digit returns. I mean, not that we don't get lucky every once in a while and hit a market on a fresh produce item that's really valuable, but generally speaking, average single digit returns. So we use those tools because they're inexpensive and because we find them to be effective, but not because we want to cause harm. And
I love hearing that because the misconception out there is that there's the good farmers and the bad farmers.
Right. And you douse your fields. Like, I mean, I hear that as well. And yeah, we're just.
Yeah. The bad farmers don't even care about our health. They're just wanting to make their money.
Right. Where and it does get overused.
Care about our health, you know?
Yeah.
So there is that misconception.
I mean, that's out there some. I don't think it's absolutely, definitely not the majority, but we really do want to do the right thing. People miss.
Which is so nice to hear.
Yeah.
So
they miss the fact that we're multi-generational operations. Like, you don't just decide to be a farmer if you've never done it before, because there's so much capital involved. I'm standing on the shoulders of the previous generations, the two generations that came before me, and I would have no chance of doing this if it wasn't for them and their sacrifice and their effort. And there's no chance of me passing something, or my kids being in the operation if I can't pass a piece of this business on to them. So the sustainability and the health of our operation and the viability of our business and the consumers that we supply are like really critical to us. So we're really not thinking short, we're thinking generationally. So if we do something, if we get enough pressure and we can do it, meaning you go to the grocery store and you ask for non-GMO, that's why there's no GMO vegetables, by the way, in the produce department, because consumers have said, I don't want them.
Right.
So
I think is amazing.
Right. And it tells you how powerful as a consumer people can be,
right,
to create change.
Vote with their dollars.
Vote with their dollars.
Buying and what they're speaking out against or for.
Yeah.
Well, and I love that you say you're generational, because I think people forget that. I think people think that all farms these days are just big corporate farms. And so we have to remember that these are generational farms that have been passed down for years and years, and their families trying to provide the best that they can.
Right. So is there anything specific to farm? Like, this has got a lot of produce and ag people. Is there anything you would want to tell them? Something that we all need to hear that maybe you feel that we miss a lot of the time?
To the farmers or to my
farmers,
type of followers?
No, to my type of followers, which are you know, restaurants, food, like when I say, well, restaurants, food service, so the people who supply food service, wholesalers, and retailers. Do you want to just pick retailers? We'll pick one. We supply retailers with onions and other produce. What is the retailer missing in their understanding of the consumer?
So I think the pendulum is swinging. And what I mean by that is the pendulum used to be back before the 50s, like we ate all whole foods, right? All fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds. That pendulum swung after the 50s to over here to the frozen foods and the frozen meals. And let's put in all these preservatives that can keep this food on the shelf for, you know, X amount of months, years, whatever. But I feel like that pendulum is swinging back to wanting whole foods because people are tired of the cancer rates, the autoimmune rates, the depression rates, all these rates just increasingly, I mean, it's skyrocketing amounts, right? And they're tired of that. And they're seeing that whole foods really nourish the body and heal the body. And so they're looking for more of those whole food type of options.
So is there a specific thing, if you're talking to a retail grocery store that isn't on the shelf or that they don't provide today, that you think is like a big miss? That you actually ask yourself, like, why aren't they doing that?
Well, it would be more for manufacturers of food, I would think, because I want to like scream at some of the manufacturers of food and be like, just make that granola bar with whole foods. Like, it's totally possible. You don't need 10 artificial ingredients to make that granola bar. So I think that's where I would focus. But also what I would love in a retail store would be so cool if we knew like, hey, this produce was locally grown here in Oregon or here in Idaho, here in Utah. Support your local farmer. These are, you know what I mean? That would be so cool to know that you're supporting a local farmer rather than, oh, here's the apples from big corporation again.
It's a really, you kind of struck a chord there a little bit, because I've tried to help the retailers share that message, but they're really resistant, because when they share my message, you know, Shea Farm Kit or Owyhee Produce, they reduce their ability to buy and keep prices low.
Oh, from somebody else.
Right. So they struggle because now let's say someone does jump on board and we team up and we share the message and we show right where that food comes from. The next time they need to buy, or their competitor says, well, look, we're 20 cents cheaper on onions than store X. And then they find themselves at a disadvantage. So we have all of this value that's there and a potential to share the message, but there's hesitancy to utilize that message.
It makes sense.
Because again, the consumer, while they do want to know where it comes from, at the end of the day, the most important thing is probably what it costs.
I know, but it'd be so great if you walked in a produce section in a grocery store and you saw like, oh, support your local farmer, or these have not been sprayed with such and such, or these.
Yeah, they would.
Or because you were telling me that they have to be tested before, a lot of the crops are tested before they're sent off stores, mm-hmm. but we don't know that as consumers. So it'd be cool to be like, these got tested and nothing showed up,
yeah.
or this and this didn't show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we knew a little bit more about the produce rather than, oh shoot, is this a GMO corn I'm eating full of glyphosate? Cause I don't know the difference between field corn and sweet corn. And there's too much confusion out there.
Yeah. You know, and that's definitely something that we could all work on together, is to try and reduce the confusion and work together in these formats to, you know, to communicate what it is that the consumer wants, what it is that the farmer can commit to and provide, and, you know, just continue to swing the pendulum, right? Because
right.
I do feel like we're going in the right direction, and I feel like you're right about the organic or the whole food movement. Like, I can see the desire for fresh and for whole foods more than before. And I can also see the movement a little bit away from organic. I want to thank you for being on.
Yeah, thank
you. We already went longer than Rick wanted me to go, but we are, I think hopefully we brought value to everybody that's listening. And I hope that everyone will look up just.ingredients on Instagram. There'll be plenty to learn, and hopefully we can continue the conversation. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.